This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu, and it's the last Thursday of the year, not just the month. So Victor Yap from PC Mag Southeast Asia is with me in the studio.
Hello, hello.
So we're not going to do December because it's the whole year that we need to look back
into. We'll try to keep it short.
We'll try to keep it short. It's been a year, it's been a crazy year actually. Like, you know, we've got security, tons of security. Recently on Tech Talk, I've been interviewing so many people just talking
about
security.
Yeah, I've been hearing like the stuff over the last 2 weeks,
so
right?
So many security stories. Yeah. Is 2016 just the year of, you know, where cybersecurity is the norm in that sense?
I think it's key.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Because, like, I mean, like, we've made references in October, November about DIN DNS.
Oh, yeah.
And about ransomware and so on, right? I think that's the topic of the year.
Yeah. And then it's got, like, yeah, ransomware became a big thing at least the start of the year.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
A lot of people were just carrying devices. And the one thing I think when we talk about security throughout the year, that really blew my mind was when Wired magazine partnered up with a few white hackers and hacked into the Jeep Cherokee.
Yeah, I saw that one.
That for me was just like, yep, there you go. That's the future we're living in.
Correct. I mean, it's quite straightforward. All these smart devices, not just the phones, the washing machines, your aircons, your lights, right? With Google Nest and all that. It's supposedly protected, but it's not. Mm. Especially those come from China. Not saying that China is bad, but generally most devices that are IoT driven are not fully protected. Admin password left as admin, and so on, right? So, you would say that these things are a huge concern for this year. And just to prove the fact, they've been hit many, many times.
Mm.
Yeah.
Any large corporations from that I can think of? I know there is a lot. Just somehow it just doesn't come across my mind at the moment.
You mean like...
That got hacked into, you know, cybersecurity. Really suffered.
I would say... I wouldn't say a big company. Mm. I mean, the biggest is DIN DNS.
Yeah.
But right. And then there was the whole country being taken down by Mirai and so Africa, right? Mm. But I would say that the one that has been constantly bothered the last 6 months, Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Even Twitter CEO's account got hacked into, right? I mean, Jack Dorsey's account got hacked into, and then the hacker said, hey, look, I hacked in your system.
Yeah.
Please call us for advice, right? And last week, Netflix and Marvel Entertainment both had their accounts hacked in the US, and they had that thing posted there as well. Of course, nobody seen it as a serious situation. And today, yesterday, Sony Music was hacked.
Mm.
And by the same group, Our Mind. Mm. And they're like, look, we did it again. We're going to do things like create fake news now.
Wow.
Because when they hacked Sony Music Twitter account, they declare immediately that Britney Spears has passed away, which is not true, right?
Yeah.
So Sony deleted the tweet right after that, and then they hacked into another account and done the same thing. Mm. So if you ask me, Twitter is easily the most hacked platform this year.
Mm. And also, I think a lot of this fake news stuff has been coming around a lot this year.
Yeah, that's right.
A lot of people are talking about it. You see guys like Facebook and Microsoft and all.
Yeah, they come up with new tools, right?
New tools to try to combat this fake news thing. And it's part of, like, I think just the way that we're so easily, you know, fall into these kind of traps, and you know, we tend to just read the headlines instead of the article itself.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You know, all these clickbaits. It was such a big thing in 2016. You know, in 2014, 2015, I never used to see people really discussing it at length and trying to do something about it, because I think the percentage of it is very small.
Yeah, it is.
And now,
even with the clickbait, even the clickbaits and all that, it doesn't.
It's
really
been
mean
around
anything.
For a long time. We see it in newspapers, in traditional newspapers.
That's
right.
That's right. So, but fake news. You're right. Fake news this year has really taken a leap, a huge leap forward because of, well, the elections from the US.
Yeah.
And then you got these things like, oh, so-and-so died this year and blah, blah, blah. Yes, admittedly, 2016 is a very sad year because many celebrities passed away.
Yeah. Mm.
But there are these guys who come out of nowhere and say random things that's not proven. Mm. Yeah, and people actually do believe them. That's kind of scary.
Yeah, and I think also on a personal note, I've just noticed recently, like, a lot of people have started doing this chain messaging on WhatsApp over again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How is this coming about again?
because actually it relates back to the Facebook thing.
Mm.
People started this. Oh, you know, if you're a friend, you would post this.
Yeah.
Of course, those that believe that they should do it would, right? But I feel that it's more of a way for the ones who instigate this thing in the first place to track and see how trends work.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not about fishing or whatever, but more of like they want to see, okay, these guys are responding to what I have created. So how can I ride on that trend? That kind of thing. So they use keywords and so on. Maybe it's a test. I don't know. Maybe it's a marketing ploy.
Yeah, could be. And also on social media platforms, whether it's Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. Personal note: I've been seeing a lot of people sharing, a picture or an image with a caption saying that, if you share this, you comment this, you win a free ticket to fly to Dubai on a business class. And all that kind of thing. It's just so often these days that it kind of irks me out because we've been talking about this for so many times. If it's too good to be true, it's not real anymore. Simple as that.
Correct.
But I guess hopefully in 2017, we would probably see some steps being taken to sort of minimize this because there are new policies.
Yeah.
There are new frameworks being
introduced. Yeah, I mean, there is. I mean, Facebook has introduced this tool, right, where we as users can report this is fake news. So this is what... Or even Facebook themselves, like, assuming once I come up with a news, like, tsunami did this and that, right? But it's not true. Facebook will actually put out underneath the story that these are contended news from real sources. Mm. So, there's new things there to see.
Yeah. And we play a part as well in reporting this kind of stuff. Because the tools are there. You know, whether it's a report spam or report inappropriate like photos or pictures and all that kind of stuff. It's up to us to report it instead of sharing it and asking our friends to like it and stuff.
Correct.
Let's all move on to virtual reality.
Second biggest thing in the year.
It's the second biggest thing.
Yeah.
But for a lot of people, it'll probably be the biggest thing ever.
Correct.
Because I think it's stuff that we've been dreaming of as a kid when we were growing up.
Yeah.
And, we were always like, wow.
Those hollow rooms, right?
This is going to be... And 2016 is the year where actually, it is a consumer device now, virtual reality. We see the PSVR.
That's right.
We've seen the Oculus Rift, the HTC Vive, Google's Daydream. Whole bunch of
stuff.
VR stuff.
Yeah.
So many people making VR.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just on consumer. There's also like the corporate level where you got guys like Trimble. They are behind these building information modeling systems. They used to be just like AutoCAD. You create 3D art, 3D visuals of the building and so on. But the last event I went to where I tried the HoloLens personally, they actually created an augmented system where I can walk through the 3D modeling of the room.
Oh, wow.
And I can like say, okay, I don't like this wall, take it away. And put things in through HoloLens, right?
Nice.
Yeah, so BIM has actually been, building information modeling. It's been a necessity for a lot of architecture firms. And Trimble is trying to actually push that forward. And AutoCAD, all that, are more than happy to join up with this concept and put it on HoloLens. Mm. So HoloLens, I think, is the way forward, actually. Like, we talked about it last month about how VR is the big deal, but you don't see how it's going to reach the consumers, right?
Yeah.
Now I shared that Microsoft is actually going to talk to all the other vendors to build their own head lenses.
Yeah.
So mixed reality through the HoloLens concept would be the 2017.
All right. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, we will go more about what's been happening in 2016. I'm with Victor Yap from PC Max Southeast Asia, BFM 89.9.
Best for money, BFM 89.9.
And you're back with me, Jeff Sandhu, and you're listening to Tech Talk. And Victor Yap from PC Max Southeast Asia is with me in the studio, and we're doing a 2016 roundup. And early on, we did like a security roundup, some of the stuff that's been happening, ransomware, DDoS attacks, a whole bunch of fake news and stuff. Like, hopefully none of you listening to this had any experience into, any cybersecurity problems, because it would be a pain if you were a victim of, ransomware, for example, because you have to pay using Bitcoins and all those.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually really expensive.
It's really expensive. So hopefully you guys stayed clear of those. And then we talked a bit about VR.
That's right.
Before we move on to a bit more things, let's talk about, we mentioned HoloLens.
That's right.
Microsoft HoloLens. And I personally have not tried the HoloLens yet, but I do think the HoloLens has the most potential among all of them, just because of the number of different uses and use cases that, Microsoft has. It's not just for one particular thing,
yeah,
right?
It can use it for education and so on.
Everything, right? And it's Microsoft, right? Whereas the PSVR, it's more for the gaming side. We've talked about it on Game Time. You can download that episode. What about the HTC Rift and, you know, the HTC Vive and the Oculus Rift?
Well, like, both are for games as well. Mm. But Facebook has made it very clear that they are they're looking in two ways of dealing of managing the Oculus Rift. PC side, of course, for gaming and so on. And maybe a bit of experiential movies. Mm. The mobile side, they're looking at more of 360 videos, 360 concepts. That's why Facebook rolled out the 360 video view and everything and photography, right? So they're hoping that they can tap into that market and make it more immersive. Mm.
And Google Daydream, we've seen, the headsets, it looks
gorgeous.
It looks amazing.
Yeah,
it looks so comfortable. It looks like something that you're going to bring onto an airplane and then put it over your eyes and fall asleep.
Yeah, and you might miss all your food in the plane, right?
Yes.
But it's really cool because
it looks so beautiful.
Yeah, I've not tried it myself, but I have read that Lenovo is rolling out a couple of devices. So is Motorola and Samsung, I'm not sure. But yeah, Motorola and Lenovo confirmed it. And ZTE, they have confirmed it. So these devices are actually Google Daydream ready. That means you can plug it in into the Daydream headset.
Nice.
And you can experience 100% what Google has in mind for VR.
Now, innovation is also part of, you know, every year we talk about what are some of the innovations that happened in 2016, 2015 and so forth. In 2016, what were some of the highlights, Victor?
Well, this ties into what we talked about just now. The VR experience rooms, that's new in KL. There's, I think, two or three now around Klang Valley where you can actually just don a HTC Vive and try out the NVIDIA Funhouse and some of the games, right? It's not cheap though. I think it's like 30 to 45 ringgit for like 20 minutes.
If you just want an experience, then
So that's one of the innovations, thanks to VR. Then you got things like education. Yeah, sure. I mean, IT is a growing thing. It's transforming and everything. But you got guys like IBM and Canvas by Instructure. They are saying that, look, it's no longer just about teaching the kids and teaching students one way. It has to be experiential. So in IBM's case, they're working with Inti. They recently announced something. They're going to augment the IT education system. So your Bachelor of Information Management, of IT, of quantitative surveying, even businesses degrees will have IBM big data studies, data analysis and so on. So that to IBM, that's important. So in a way, that is innovating education to follow the times.
Yeah, because, you know, education, we always talk about it, but it's never changing for so many years now already. And, you know, everything else is
changing.
Right?
That's right.
Except for education.
That's
To finally see education now really taking it all in, using, you know, latest technologies, using real-time data analytics to sort of really give you feedback.
Correct.
And I think if you're enrolling yourself to a master's course or whatever, it's going to be completely different if you've been out of, you know, the education sector for a number of years. This time around, when you go into enroll yourself to a college or a university, I think you will notice that, wow, this is actually very similar to like the real world or the working world, because I think that's what education has been lacking of. It's just been falling off the pace.
It's good that you say that, because that's what Instructure is doing. Instructure is basically an open platform for studying online. So it's basically like an open university kind of concept, but very focused on students and making it experiential for them. They believe it's not just about, okay, IBM is doing great and everything, but instructors come from the fact that I'm giving you new things to think about, like your soft skills and all the extra stuff that you don't learn in school, or your experiences are different from school. So they are coming together and saying, after they did the study and they revealed that most students here in Malaysia are not sure they're ready for the workforce.
Oh, yeah.
So instructor here came out and said, look, we can do this where we can provide you some extra courses to actually be ready for the workforce, and you can just go in there and you be confident and get the job.
Now, into some personal devices, personal drones. This year was definitely it, because we saw GoPro with the Karma.
Correct.
And then after that, just, you know, weeks after that, DJI released the Maverick.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? Even Parrot has their own one as well.
Wow.
Yeah, so all three have launched in Malaysia. The DJI, I've seen flying around already. GoPro, not yet.
I haven't seen the GoPro
yet. That's not coming anytime soon, even though it's officially revealed.
Yeah.
Parrot also not yet because they are limited stock. Yeah, oddly enough, but you're right. Drones are no longer just for professionals.
Yeah.
These are for people like you and me who are keen to fly things around and not have to go and get license from the aviation aviation people. Right, we fly at above a certain height and then that's it. You can take it back down.
Do it in an area where you know you're not going to get yourself into trouble. As
yeah,
well, you know? Don't purposely go up to like you know KLIA and try to record stuff of you know planes flying in and out.
That's
because
very dangerous.
Those are very, very dangerous. Yeah. And that's the reason why we have this kind of laws in place because
correct.
Of, you know, people just going out and trying to make the quick buck and, you know, try to capture something.
And they look great and doing it, right?
And obviously they look great because these drones capture 4K video.
That's right.
Stuff that, you know, previously you need to carry like a whole lorry of just equipment just in order to get, you know, the perfect
shot. Yeah.
Now you could just do it with a drone. Weddings, December has been a month of weddings for me. Every single wedding video had a drone shot. And I was like, no.
Nice.
You just know it's become the norm when it's in a wedding video and then your mom or your uncle next to you go like, wow, nice, huh? Like, wow, whose house is that? And you go like, you know the drone is at work then.
Yeah.
That's right.
The panning shot, right? Yes.
It's also a year of smart cars coming to play.
Yeah.
We've seen the Tesla, and it's here. We've seen a few in Malaysia already. The Model S, especially.
Those are all rented, right?
Rented ones, yep. But at least we've seen it in real life.
Correct.
Tesla Model S. And it's an innovation, and it's one of the things where we've always dreamt about, you know, even though it's not the Jetsons yet, where you see flying cars and so forth. But this is as close as you could get, because you know the Teslas, they look absolutely amazing.
That's right, 21-inch screens in the panel and all that.
It looks like you know you're entering a car that Iron Man built or Tony Stark built, and there's Jarvis is in the console here because it's just a massive touchscreen.
Yep.
Massive touchscreen. Love it. Absolutely love it. Did you manage to sit into any Tesla?
Unfortunately.
During Grab promos and they
But I have seen the smart cars, as in like the autonomous ones that drive around without a driver. Because I was in San Francisco for a few times, right? So I came across one. Like, oh, it's so cool. It's like ghost driving a car. It's creepy, but it's actually cool.
Wow. Yeah. Imagine you seeing a car being driven without the driver inside.
That's right.
Never really thought about it until now. Creepy.
Correct. Especially if there's no passenger in it, right?
It's like Sleepy Hollow, but it's a driving hollow.
Man, don't start. But yeah, the I've seen one. It's actually quite creepy, but at the same time it's cool because you got guys like Uber, Honda, and even Google Alphabet spinning off their smart car arm to become Waymo, right? And that's what I think will be a big deal next year.
Yeah. And I think a lot of these ride-sharing apps, like, you know, the Ubers and the Lyfts in the US are actually looking into autonomous vehicles because that is their plan in that sense.
Yeah,
you know, to have a service like this where in the future, you don't even need to buy a car.
More disruptions.
Yeah, you just lease a car in that sense, or you just use it on a day-to-day basis or when you need to use it, per se, right? Because let's be honest, I see it working in the future because right now, when my daily usage of my car is I park it in the office at 9 a.m. and I only start using it at, you know, 6 p.m. or 7 p.m.
That's right.
So from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m, if I can, you know, lease out my autonomous vehicle to, you know, make more money or for other people, then why not?
As long as they take care of your car.
Of
right?
course, yeah. It's like an Airbnb kind of thing, but it's air car. I don't know. Like car air.
Maybe.
Something like that. Yeah. But I guess that's what they're heading to in the future.
Yeah. In fact, I think Singapore already, they closed the program, but they were testing it on a 5 km stretch where you can actually sit in a self-driving car, electric car, up and down that stretch, go to mall from the office and stuff like that.
Isn't Singapore trying to do something where they're, you know, in the future where, you know, buses are actually operated by, you know, a lot of these autonomous...
Yeah, they're working on that as well.
They're working on that as well. And I think if a country like Singapore, because they're small and they're compact, and plus they've already got a very good infrastructure that links to everything together, if they could pull this off, it would be such a massive feat. And if they could do, like, you know, be the first in Asia, because, you know, Barcelona is, like, you know, known as the first smart city. If we could have like an Asian country to sort of lead
Singapore,
this autonomous, I think Singapore would be it, and you know, would be so happy if Singapore could do it, because then we could at least then just like, hey guys, come and help us out.
Spill over, right? Yeah.
Spill over.
I'm thinking more that if we have the time, I'm thinking more that Cyberjaya and Iskandar, the one in Johor, both are actually viable for the same position because both are like living labs now, right? And just a matter of time before an autonomy with Singapore. Hey, yeah, let's try it in a more in a larger space like Cyberjaya with
because
wider roads.
No space in Singapore.
Yes, 5 km is very short. You know, yeah.
Come over to here. We've got like a longer stretch for
That's
you.
Right. That's right. And wider, more space.
And wider and more space as well. Anyways, we'll take a short break, and after in just a moment, we will talk more about the stuff that's been happening in 2016. I'm with Victor Yap from PC Mag Southeast Asia, BFM 89.9.
Breaking Financial Matters, BFM 89.9.
And we're back with Tech Talk. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with Victor Yap from PC Mag Southeast Asia. And we're doing a 2016 roundups. And early on, we talked about security, VR, and we talked about innovation in terms of the education sector. We talked about drones, smart cars. Let's talk about IoT, because that's a huge thing as
well. Yeah, it is. I mean, we did mention it earlier in the show, but it is more focused on the fact that the back end of things, you got Intel coming out earlier this year, and even ARM, the guys behind the guys who power Qualcomm and so on, right? They are saying that, look, we believe IoT is the way forward. This is true. You need CPUs in your smart aircon, smart fridges to process the commands that they get from the phone and everything, right? So they're hoping that they know that this is way forward for the IT scene. So they actually want to move into this space and create chips that can power all these platforms. And on top, of course, NVIDIA is also one thing in the game. So they also believe that this is the way forward for them. Not just GPUs and smart cars and deep processing servers. They believe that devices that are IoT driven need chips like what NVIDIA can produce. And all three are looking to reduce the chip by even smaller. Now 16 nanometers,
crazy.
Right? Yeah.
If you've seen some of the chips, so you just go online, Google the image.
The size is so small, right?
How small would you want it to be? More, but you know, that is the whole point.
Good question, because 14 nanometers expectation next year. For IoT, it's even smaller, 10 nanometers. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's insanely tiny, right? And that can power your whole fridge.
Wow.
In terms of how smart it can be. That's crazy.
Insane. Crazy. Well, let's move on to smartphones, mobile phones.
Yep.
Unfortunately, we have to talk about Samsung.
Yes.
It was the year where it was...
It could have been.
Yeah. And it was for a while, at least for maybe a day or so.
Yep.
You know, Samsung did become the manufacturers of what probably would have been...
I think more than a day.
A month or so.
Yeah.
What would have been probably the best smartphone of 2016.
It could have thumbed down Apple, man.
Yeah. You know, it was literally it. Until it's it went on self-destruct mode. And you know, they've taken a hit. They've looked back at it, and until now we still don't have an official wording of why exactly it was exploding.
Correct.
But you know, we are looking forward to, you know, the chapter is done. You know, let's just push away the Note 7, because let's look forward to the next coming generation.
S8. Actually, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Rumors have been talking about how that phone is off the charts in terms of design and processing power, 8 GB of RAM and all that, right? All rumors, but still, wow.
Yeah, and apparently they're going to drop the headphone jack with that, with the S8. And I'm like, Samsung, if you're not listening to this, don't do it.
we need headsets. Yeah.
I need to charge my phone while listening to music, and I don't want to carry adapters along.
Correct.
Simple, just don't do it, please. But it begs the question in terms of, you know, what we want from these devices. You talked about how, you know, 10mm chips to power up your fridge. What we want from our smartphones these days, it's, you know, faster, you know, longer lasting battery life, but thinner and lighter. And not only that, now we're asking, like, I want it to be charged within like a minute. And like, you want fast charging, you want long lasting
battery
camera
life,
you want
all
dual
that.
Camera.
Yeah.
The way that we're pushing innovation is really taking a toll. And which is why
Samsung's phone was at risk of exploding, because they're chasing so much, making it even smaller than necessary.
Yeah.
That is at the risk of like, okay, this is beyond the limit and it's time to blow up.
Yeah. It literally blew up. And then you've got new brands who are coming into, well, not new brands, but brands who are stepping up their game.
Yeah.
Huawei.
Yes, that's right. To
the
step
P9.
Up and fill the vacant spot. Yeah, the P9. Have you seen the Mate 9 yet?
No, I've not seen the Mate 9.
You should. All right. The Mate 9 Porsche, and the Mate 9 Pro. Awesome.
The Mate 9 Porsche. So, you know, Huawei has always been very interesting in the way that they partner up with different brands. So, like the P9,
yeah,
powered by Leica camera.
That's right.
And then they've been doing the Porsche designs for quite a number of iterations. Now, I think they previously had one, but was sort of looked like something from a Porsche design, just never had a label.
Yeah, correct. But now this one, I think that was more of the Mate series.
Ah,
it
yes.
had a bit of the car,
yeah,
sports car
slightly,
look, but
yeah.
none of the
Nothing,
logos.
Yeah.
But this one, by Porsche design, I'm like, oh, wow.
Nice.
But equally as pricey.
And then we had one smartphone that was announced by probably the most popular Chinese brand ever, Xiaomi.
Yeah.
And they did something just completely out of the ordinary. And they did it, the Mi Mix.
That's right. Full bezel-less display
that
phone.
That phone just looks crazy.
Yeah.
Like, wow. We talk about, you know, pushing the innovation, and we want more, and we want our front of the phone to be a complete screen by itself.
Yep.
Xiaomi did it.
Correct.
As it was not just a concept as well. It's a real phone that you could use.
The design is not new, like I said before, but they perfected it.
Mm.
Yeah, and it proves the fact that Xiaomi is not less resting on its laurels. They are like, wow, you know, we need to get out there and do something about it. We lost the dual lens game. Let's do something else. And they did this bezel-less look, and they make it look even better than the predecessors who were playing in this space, like Sharp, right?
Yeah.
They're like, okay, this is insane. So innovation has not died for phones, that's for sure.
Definitely not.
Well, Apple did not play that much, but the other brands did.
They did to the certain extent of, you know, what they could, in the sense where, you know, the iPhone 7 Plus has a dual camera.
Well, it's been there.
It's not new
that's
in
right.
the sense. It's just that they're playing that catch-up game. But Apple's always been that anyways. They've never been known for innovation. They've just been known for, you know, taking innovation that's been done about 2 years ago and then just perfecting it in that sense, right? Let's take a short break. And when we come back in just a moment, we will talk more 2016 lookbacks. I'm with Victor Yap from PC Mag Southeast Asia. It is our last break, I assure you, promise you that. BFM 89.9.
Bloggers for Malaysia. BFM 89.9.
And this is Tech Talk, and you're on the last segment of Tech Talk with Victor Yap from PC Mag Southeast Asia, and we're doing a look back of 2016. We've touched on, you know, so many things.
Yeah, there's just so much to say.
So much to talk about. Let's just talk about e-commerce, because this year has been a year where I've been buying so many stuff while I'm at work and I'm just sitting down.
You admitted it. I hope your bosses are listening to it.
I've bought way too many pairs of shoes. I've bought way too many pairs of, you know, lenses and, you know, camera casings and earphones and controllers and...
Wow.
Literally everything. Nearly 90% of what I bought this year has come from an e-commerce store.
Mm.
And I think the e-commerce scene has just exploded this year.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a contributor myself.
Mm.
I mean, I didn't buy stuff. I bought more like air tickets, booked more hotels.
You went on a holiday.
Yeah.
Because you recently just proposed to your, now it's your wife already. So.
Not yet. Fiancé.
So
right.
You did a bit of traveling and
correct.
You know, spending time and all.
Yeah. So it's all online. And the good thing about this is that we save money as well.
Yeah.
You know, the cashback system that US
has
been talking about for years.
Yeah.
Malaysia and Singapore, and actually this region, just started enjoying this same concept with ShopBack, where you can buy stuff. Of course, you go through ShopBack to go to Lazada and so on, right?
Yeah.
And you get back your money because they have a cashback system, partnership with Lazada and with Shopee and so on. They're like, that's great.
Yeah.
I get 10% off my air tickets. I get like 10% off my hotel fees and all that. Why not?
You know, I know earlier on I said if it's too good to be true, it's probably not real.
Yeah.
For ShopBack's case, however, because I've personally used them and I've been using them ever since I've interviewed them as well.
That's crazy, right?
It's crazy. Yeah. You actually can buy stuff for free because you've bought so many stuff before.
That's right.
That you just collect little amounts along the way, and next thing you know, go like, oh, hang on a minute, I can actually get a price of headphones for half the price initially.
Because the cash is there. You've
got the cashback program going on.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think, 2017, hopefully we will see more of these cashbacks being implied into all kinds of, restaurants and make the use of your money, get the bang for your buck.
It makes more sense for cashback to work because previously it's only for credit cards. It doesn't make sense because I don't use a credit card as often, right? Mm. But this one works. Every purchase you get from ShopBack's links get you your money back. Mm. I'm just hoping that Amazon pairs up with them.
Mm. And talking about pairing up in that sense, it's also been a year of mergers and acquisitions.
Oh, yes. Buyouts all over the place.
the one that just... I got really sad... was Fitbit and Pebble. That one for me, because I'm a Pebble owner, and I'm a Pebble owner ever since the Kickstarter Pebble edition.
Okay.
And when I found out about it, even though I've not been using my Pebble for many months or years now, but it's just like, that was that one company that I supported when they were so small.
Yep.
They were not even a company back then. It bought on Kickstarter and then they became huge, and then now we're like,
Fitbit just bought them,
it's done, that's it. I'm just going to keep my Pebble into the box now and frame it, and then later in a few years' time, I'm going to sell it on eBay.
You should refurbish it first, because Fitbit did promise that they will service all Pebble watches until 2017.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm going to do now.
That's one of the bigger announcements, right? But there are even bigger ones, like, are you a user of LinkedIn?
Yes.
Yeah, Microsoft bought them out for quite a fair bit
of
cash.
Huge deal. Yeah.
And of course, it's more very corporate. People like you, the man on the show said, why should I be bothered?
Mm.
Because you should be, because let's say you have a LinkedIn account and all your data there. Microsoft now has access to that, and they combine it with the enterprise stuff like Office 365 and Yammer and all that, and not Yammer, Skype and all that. And can you imagine what you can do with the kind of stuff that's now that's merged together? You go to office, they know you. Yeah. They know what you like because they had LinkedIn, they tie up with LinkedIn, and they're like, wow, okay, so I don't have to key in everything myself.
Yeah.
It's.
I think that was probably one of the smartest acquisitions.
Yeah, it's a dream, actually.
Yeah, it's a dream acquisition, but it cost a lot of money.
Now, the biggest one actually is Dell and EMC.
Oh.
Almost 50 billion.
Yeah, I could never see this happening because the Dell, huge company, EMC, huge company as
Then
Dell is actually getting over EMC.
Correct. Wow. Well, private company that bought out a listed company, right? It's insane. But it worked, and the merger just completed, I think, 2 months back. I spoke to the Malaysian rep here, and it's quite cool. The way they're doing things, the way they're sharing how they can move forward and focus on many, many areas, is like the new HP of decade, right? But they're doing it right.
They're not doing the HP way back then. It's a different style now.
Yeah.
And the other one is Western Digital then.
SanDisk. Yeah. That one's also another surprise acquisition, because WD always played in the platter space. They don't have any flash drives or SSDs, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they bought SanDisk and suddenly, hey, now we have SSDs, WD, like, perfect.
As easy as that, when you're a company like Western Digital and you want to, get into a different pie, but it's in the same, kind of ecosystem space, you just buy someone.
That's the easiest way to get into a space that you're not in playing yet, right?
Correct, there's also Samsung and Harman.
Yeah, that's an interesting buyout. I mean, within the negative news that they're Note 7 and all that, right? Suddenly, we're buying out Harman.
Yeah.
But not Harman Kardon, the whole brand.
Just
one part of Harman Kardon. And now they have access to all the Harman Kardon stuff.
Yeah.
All the sound system stuff that belongs to Harman Kardon. That's crazy. That means the mobile players that are partners with Harman Kardon have to drop the rights to it. They're like, such a pity.
But I think Samsung is also thinking about the home appliances and, not just the smartphones or the mobile phones.
That's right.
They're going for the home. We talked about IoT and stuff like that. The smart homes and all. They're going for that, because that's where you see Samsung really probably, going to invest a lot in. Like, TVs has been crazy.
Yeah, I can imagine all those 4K TVs with the sound system, right?
Crazy.
Yeah.
Looking forward to 2017 in just, few days' time. CES 2017 is happening, and that's where we get to see all the latest products or innovations that will be happening, that will be launching in 2017.
That's right.
It's sort of like a heads up. This is what's going to come out. Start saving my money now.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of big announcements. Like, I remember I showed you just now before the show, the wireless LG's floating speaker.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's going to be cool.
Yeah.
LG is actually rolling out this wireless speaker toy. It's like a toy,
it's
right?
It's a toy, yeah.
Yeah, but it's such a cool toy that you can produce a 360 degree sound. The floating bass that has magnets is your subwoofer. Mm. That's crazy. Yeah,
it's using like a maglev technology to float a speaker.
Yeah.
Imagine just stepping into your home and when you turn everything on, your speaker starts floating around. And,
that's
going
to be so fun to
that's
see.
That's just a crazy world that we live
in. That's right.
But let's talk about like Intel. Are they going to be rumored to be releasing any new processors?
Well, they did reveal this year in Computex 2016 the 7th generation Core, right? Mm. And that's for notebooks and so on. So many are expecting to see what Intel can do with a desktop platform in CES. And it's no confirmation yet, but we can kind of guess, okay, it's been 6 months since the Core, 7th generation Core release on notebooks. Where's the desktop systems, right? Mm. So one can assume that it's going to happen in CES, hopefully.
Yeah.
If not, then maybe in Computex.
You know, CES recently, this year, last year, has been a lot about smart cars and, the future of automobiles.
Yeah, yeah,
and
that's
all
right,
that.
That's right.
Like, even we've seen, a whole bunch of fridges and microwaves, I think, this year.
Yeah.
Fridges was the huge thing this year in CES. LG
had those,
some.
Like, 19-inch, 21-inch screens on the door, right?
On the door of the fridge. I remember that was the story that we talked about this year.
That's right.
Are we going to see this, the same thing again?
Maybe.
Yeah. We will see Tesla definitely doing something.
And Faraday also will be there.
And their future is a bit...
it's questionable now, but I think they made a teaser that, look, we're not dead yet. Mm. We're going to show you something new. So
hopefully.
Let's see what happens.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
And there'll be new bunch of laptops. Everything will be faster.
Yeah.
Thinner,
there were a couple
lighter.
Of leaks the last couple of weeks. Yeah. You know the Dell XPS unit?
I know the XPS 13.
The 15 is coming out with the Kaby Lake CPU, the 7th generation core.
Wow.
It was leaked accidentally. And we saw it online, whoa, that's very sexy.
Yeah. The XPS series has one of the best looking Windows, tablet, laptop
design right?
because the screen is just all screen.
Correct. It's near bezel-less, so that's right. Yeah.
That design, I think, will really should get on more in 2017, but although I don't think it's that practical to have a screen that's that size and no bezel at all.
Well, It depends. Mm. Well, when it comes out, we'll know for sure.
We'll see for sure. Are you personally excited about anything or any hopes you want to see in 2017? I just wish that, no one removes the headphone jack from the phone that I'm going to buy. That's the only wish I have for 2017.
Yeah, for me, I've always been a TV guy.
Oh, yeah.
So I told you before on a couple of shows about 4K, 4K panels and so on, 4K HDR. I'm hoping to see more of that.
Mm.
Yeah, because Hisense is there, Samsung is there, LG is there, and they're all like, yeah, we're going to show you some new TVs. Cool. I can't wait.
So speaking of which, I know it's not a movie show with Uma. It's a tech show.
That's right.
Any TV series you're looking forward to next year then?
Mostly the Marvel stuff. Like Defenders.
Because
I've always been a Marvel fanboy.
Mm.
So any TV show that's Marvel related, then
alright. Victor Yap from PC Mag Southeast Asia. You can find out all the information that we talked about on the website, which is sea.pcmag.com.
Yep, that's right.
Or you can just download the podcast at bfm.my. And if you feel like, I've got a long New Year's weekend, I'm not sure what to do, I want to do a bit of reading, I want to catch up on myself, then PC Mag Southeast Asia is your website to go, because all these stories that we talked about has been covered on your you've been covering all these stories practically.
Correct.
Most of it. Victor, we will see you again next year. Happy New Year.
Same to you.
And do download the podcast at bfm.my. This has been Tech Talk, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.